My favorite was the girl was like, I'm just taking a break from love right now, working on my career. Oh, I love love. I love love, and we're going to talk about it today, so I'm excited. We have been on a journey of talking about what are the conversations that Jesus had with his disciples in kind of the final moments before his death. And we've been calling it Before I Go. What are the words that Jesus said before he left? And there have been a lot of conversations, a lot of hard conversations, a lot of confusing conversations, but a lot of clarifying conversations. And he talks about all kinds of things. But today, he talks about love. And I just happened to, we didn't even plan this, I just happened to get the week on love. And if you know me at all, you know I was delighted because I love love. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But I'm looking around the room. If I haven't met you, I'm Amy. I'm one of the pastors here. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning and eager to share with you this morning. We have been in this series. It's been out of the book of John. And he's told us so many things. Jesus has told the disciples, but he's telling us as we're hearing about it on Sunday mornings here. But he's told them that he's the way. He's told them he's one with the Father. He's told them that he's leaving and that when he leaves, he's going to send the Comforter, his Spirit, to give them the Spirit so that he can continually be with them. He's told them, I want you to remain in me. You know, I'm going to leave, but I want you to remain in me. That's confusing, but stay in me, in the vine, like we heard last week. And now something is a little bit different. He's giving a command. And he says this in John 15, we start at verse 12 today. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, I don't want to say, you know, this is more important than everything else that Jesus has said, but there's something changing here. Like, he has been saying all these things, giving this wisdom, giving this understanding to his disciples, and now he's like, and here's a command I have for you. I think their interest would be piqued. They might be a little more like, ooh, something's ratcheting up here. And in particular, because he said this before, he said almost these exact same words in the same place with the same people. Just a couple of chapters ago, a little while ago in John 13, he had said the same thing to them, only at that time it was new to them. He said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So clearly this is important. This is the second time that he's bringing this up in this space with these guys, and he's clearly wanting to get a message across. And so this morning I want to unpack, what is that message? What is it that he's trying to tell his disciples in this moment? When he is saying, love each other as I have loved you, what exactly is he saying? Often we hear these words, love one another. That's not uncommon. We do hear those things a lot as followers of Jesus, right? And we hear that in scriptures. There's lots of scriptures where they talk about, where Jesus talks about, I want you to love others, and I want you to love not just your community, but your neighbors and the world. But today, actually, in this passage, he's not talking about loving this wide swath of people or loving the world. He's talking to disciples in the upper room, and they're looking at each other, and he's looking at them, and they're like, and he's saying, you all need to love each other. Love each other. Because they struggled to do that. The disciples didn't always love each other. They bickered a lot. They fought a lot. And their favorite thing to fight about was who was greatest among them. There's so many times that you see and hear stories in the Gospels of Jesus is conveying something really important, or they've just had this profound experience seeing someone healed, and now they're fighting about who is greater among you. I love the story of James and John. Like, Jesus has just told them, you know, that he's leaving, and now James and John approach him, and they say, we have an idea for you. We would like to be at your right and left hand when you leave. You know, when you go to heaven, we'd like to sit at your right and your left. And the other disciples hear this and they're angry. And then a conflict breaks out among them. And now Jesus is like breaking up a fight among his disciples. Whoa. This is not the point, he's saying. So you can understand why he's saying, hey, get it together. Love one another. They were not so good at that. And as I studied that this week, I thought, ooh, that resonates a little bit, doesn't it? When you think about disciples of Jesus today, when you think about how Christians interact with each other, how Christians from different denominations relate to one another, how if you had us all in the same room, you know, trying to do ministry together, different denominations, different theological perspectives together, how do we relate to one another? Often we do the same thing, don't we? We jockey for position. I would never do this about a church in town, you know, kidding. But Lord have mercy. But we do have those moments where we're like, well, we're not like them. You know, we're obviously, we're going to be at the right or left hand of Jesus. You know, we do the same thing. Not a lot has changed since this moment in the upper room and disciples of Jesus. But he is commanding them in this moment. He's commanding them, love each other. I want you all to love each other. Stop fighting. Stop the bickering. You're focusing on the wrong things. Things are about to get harder for these guys. And Jesus knows it. Like, he's about to leave. These guys are going to face a lot of hard things, persecution, trials, challenges, and they're going to face it without Jesus being physically present with them. They'll have the Spirit, but he knows you all are going into some hard times. Things are about to get harder. You're going to need each other. So lean in to your relationships with each other. There's that kind of baton passing that's happening. I think Brent mentioned that a few weeks ago in this conversation. Like, I am actually inviting you. My plan is that you will be the ones that continue to establish my kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth. And you're going to need each other to do that. So it's important that you love each other. Stop the bickering. Stop the fighting. Stop the jockeying for position. You don't get it. I love you. I love each of you. Now love each other as I have loved you. And in that phrase, in that as I have loved you phrase, we hear that Jesus defines love because he's saying, love as I have loved. So how does Jesus love? We have our own definitions of love. That's why I showed this video. I love all the different. I actually asked my kids what they thought of love, and their definitions were too sophisticated. I'm like, who are you? But I love hearing all the different definitions because it resonates, right? We're like, ooh, yeah, I got that relationship in my life, and I feel she's just really beautiful, you know? I feel all these warm feelings. We get the butterflies, and we can think of all kinds of things when we think of love. And it is challenging. To our defense, it's challenging because in the English language, we have one word for love, really, and it's covering a variety of kinds of loves and a broad spectrum of love. So we use the same word, love, to define, like, you know, my marriage with Matthew, committed, covenant marriage for years, or with my kids. I love them, and I use the same word when I communicate my love for them that I also use when I talk about my profound love for Diet Coke. You know, we use these, it's the same word that's used when we're talking about these silly things that we love. You know, if you've been around me and all, you know, I'm always like, ooh, I love your outfit. Oh, I love this song. I love this song. You know, we go out for lunch and I'm like, I love this restaurant. Okay, I use that word love a lot. And what happens is it loses its meaning, right? I've told you, I think before, even with my kids, I'll say, get over here. I want to tell you something, and Pearl will be like, that you love me. If you say it so much, it loses its meaning, you know, probably because she also hears me say, I love my Diet Coke, okay? So when we use our word love for all those things, it loses the meaning and we forget some of what love actually means. But Jesus is defining it here. And in the Greek language, as would have been used in this passage, there's a little more sophistication, and they have a few words for love. Some of you are very familiar with these, or you've heard these before, but there's a few words in Greek that represent the word love. But they give it a little more definition. So the first one is the eros love. And it's that kind of love is the love that you take. I mean, this is the love that you like consume. This love gives you pleasure. This love is more about you having some kind of need and wanting it met. Okay, this is where we get the word erotic. And then you have the kind of word phileo. This is more about a friendship kind of love. There's this mutual, like we have a mutual affection for each other, a mutual respect for each other. You know, there's some kind of camaraderie here. And then finally, there's agape love. And this is different, so different. This is a sacrificial love. This is a love that transcends mutual affection or like, ooh, I really like this person. We have great camaraderie. Agape love transcends those feelings, those personal feelings and circumstances. It's sacrificial. And agape love loves without expecting anything in return. Because if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times we love because we've been loved, or we love in order to be loved. You know, so often Matthew and I have done so much premarital counseling with people before they get married, and we'll ask them, like, what do you love about each other? And it's fair, but, you know, usually the first thing out of people's mouth is like, oh, they make me feel so good. Like, they make me feel really safe. They make me feel so loved. You know, I'm like, that's all about you. That's all about the taking. Like, what do you actually love about this person? You know, agape love is about, this is not about me. This is about me being willing to sacrifice on your behalf. The word love here in the translation that we see when Jesus says to the disciples who've been fighting and bickering, and he says, love each other as I have loved you. The word love that's used there in the Greek translation is agape. Love each other sacrificially. This is not the love like I love tacos or golden doodles or whatever. This is not even the love of like I love my great friends because we have these things in common and we love each other. This isn't even that kind of love. This is a love that's sacrificial. It's different. It's laying down your life. This is the agape love that I want you to have for each other. And this is the kind of love that I have for you. The love that Jesus gives and commands from his followers is so vastly different than our initial understanding of love. And so we let Jesus, we see Jesus define love for us in this passage today. And the first thing that we see going on the agape lines is that Jesus defines love as sacrificial. Jesus' love is sacrificial. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is a kind of love that's dying to yourself. I know you're thinking like, oh, you really want me to like, am I supposed to actually give up my life for the people around me in this space? You know, because if I want you to hear this as I share this morning, just like in the upper room, the disciples would have been looking at each other when they hear this message. You all, this is for you all in this room, for each other. You all should be looking at each other as you're thinking about this. Loving is sacrificial. Are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to get uncomfortable on behalf of other people in this room? And it's an action-oriented word. It isn't just this kind of passive, nice, warm feeling kind of word. I think sometimes we think love should be easy. In fact, I've had people say that to me, like, it should be easier than this. It shouldn't be this hard. I see some smiles in the crowd. We think love should be easy. It should be effortless in some ways. But agape love is often challenging because it requires something from us. There's a cost to it. It requires us giving up our comfort, a willingness to serve and even suffer for and with one another. Now, when you think of that, you probably think of your kids, especially moms in the room. You're like, uh-huh, I know what it's like to suffer on behalf of someone I love. But as families, we've experienced that. Maybe you experienced that in your family or for your siblings. we would consider that. Like, yes, I will lay down my life for you. I'd do just about anything for my brother sitting up here. I'll lay down my life for you. I'll sacrifice for you. But would we do that for one another? Because that's what Jesus is inviting us to, as he's inviting the disciples in the upper room. He's saying, love is different. I want you to love, I want you to see beyond the things you don't like about these people. I want you to see beyond how important you want to be. I want you to lay yourself down, and I want you to sacrifice, to suffer, to be willing to get involved in a way that's messy and uncomfortable and out of your comfort zone, that's self-sacrificing. That's the kind of love that I want you to have for each other, because that's what I've done for you. And what they don't know in this moment, though John would have known, obviously, as he's writing this years later after the resurrection, but what the disciples didn't know at this time is that Jesus is about to demonstrate this very thing. He's telling them, I'm going to leave. And he's saying, love each other with this crazy kind of agape love, with this self-sacrificing love. And they're going to see it soon after this, as he lays down his life for them, literally gives his life for them. And they've seen it as Jesus came to earth. I love even just thinking about that God is incarnational, that he left heaven. God did this for us. He demonstrated this for us. That he left perfection and he took on flesh. He took on the full human experience for us, for our sake, and then suffered and died giving his life. This kind of love often requires getting involved in something challenging, something messy, something inconvenient. And I don't want to call this out too much here this morning, but I do think that sometimes as the church, as believers, and myself included, in this space, it becomes really easy to tell somebody, I'll pray for you, or to send a card in the mail, hey, praying for you. And those things matter. Those things are really important, but that can't be it. Those can't be the only things that we do for one another. We have to, we are being commanded to love one another in a sacrificial, inconvenient way. And to encourage you, I've seen this kind of love among you all. I'm constantly amazed at how you love each other. I was just thinking about it this week because somebody's finally getting back into their house. But when one of you in this room heard about somebody else in the church who they really didn't know all that well, who had a fire in their condo and needed a place to stay for a couple months, you said, well, you can stay with us. We've got a spare room. And it turned into a couple years, actually. And I'm sure it's been more than just staying in the spare room. It's like, welcome to our lives, and our lives now intermix and intermingle. You didn't have to do that, but that's sacrificial love for other believers in our midst. Or the person, I'm thinking of a few of you in particular, the person who always volunteers whenever you hear that someone's moving in our church, oh, I will resist. You need me to move? Oh my goodness. I gotta really love you to come move you. But there are some people in our midst who will show up happily. You need help moving? And will sweat on your behalf. What a love. Because they see a need in the church and they're good at that. Or the person in our church, or many of you, there's a few of you who do this also. You know that there are couples in our church. There's a few different people who no longer are able to attend services at Ashworth for health reasons. And so you show up at their house on occasion and visit them and check on them. Bring them meals. Take them to their appointments. Call them. See how they are. Or I think about the person who somehow knows when there are other people in our church that are struggling to make ends meet financially and show up to their house with some bags of groceries or a gift card. They slip a gift card in saying, hey, I care. I see your need and I care about you. You all do this. So don't hear condemnation. I see this in our midst, but I think Jesus here is reminding us of that this morning. These are the things that we're invited to as fellow believers. As we have been loved, we're invited to love, not invited. I love to use the word invited, but let me step back. Actually commanded, we are commanded to love each other in sacrificial ways. You are commanded to get involved in each other's lives and mess, to be willing to sacrifice and suffer with, just as he did with the disciples and he did with us. There's some weight to this command, isn't there? Whew. I feel it. I was feeling it this week. And just as the disciples are sitting there feeling the weight of this command and the impossibility of it, he says the next thing. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus' love is friendship. There is this contrast that they would have heard in that moment. The contrast between servant and friend is so strong here. You know, these folks were living under Roman occupation, and it was estimated that like a fifth of the population was living as servants and functioning, making society function on their backs. So these folks would have known what a servant was. The people in the community that make things happen, they're used purely for function. You know, they're only used for what they can do and what they can produce. They're reduced to a number or to a skill. And it's hard for us, or it may be hard for us to understand what that is. What does that look like in our society today? But I do think what we can understand is the relationship between a master and a servant is transactional. And we do understand transactional relationships. Those kind of relationships where if I do this, I get this. And that's what a servant and a master did. You produce and function the tasks in front of you and you'll be fed and housed. It's your job. And we understand transactional relationships. We do that often with each other. And we can so easily fall into this relationship with God. And that's what he's saying to them. Hey, you are not a servant. Don't think of yourself as a servant because we naturally will do this, right? Well, if I do what's right and I serve and I give and I read and I pray and I attend this group and I'm the one showing up to help people move and I do all these things, then you'll bless me or I get what comes next. But Jesus here is saying, that's not how relationship works. We don't have a servant-master relationship. We don't have a transactional relationship. We have a real, intimate relationship. You're not servants working for me. Rather, you're invited into relationship with me, the God of the universe. And he's saying to them in this moment, you know, even these things I've made known to you, the things the Father has revealed to me, I've let you in on. We have access to him. These disciples are hearing, we're being called friends of Jesus. We have access to him. He's saying, you have access to me and my secrets, you know, and all that I want to reveal. Servants do tasks and they're kept at a distance. Used for function, but friends are brought in close for relationship. Friends know what the Father is doing because Jesus has told them. There's intimacy, there's vulnerability in relationship. There's a Christian psychologist who I really like, and I heard him on a podcast say, his name's John Towns, Dr. John Towns, and he said, disclosure is the currency of intimacy. Jesus discloses things to us. We are his friends. And I would argue, as he talks about how we should love each other, we should do the same with one another. We hold back. We hold each other arm's length. Jesus is saying, no, I've called you friends. Friendship, if you want to define friend, if you want to define love through me, one, it's laying down your life. It's sacrificial. Two, it's friendship. And you should do that with one another. Disclose to one another. Don't hold each other at arm's length. Let people come in and go and be involved and know people. Jesus reveals himself to us. He communicates with us. In friendships, you share secrets. You share joys and pains. You share plans. You don't keep each other at arm's length. Jesus doesn't keep us at arm's length. Through his word and his spirit that we have, they didn't have in this moment, that we have in his presence with us, he brings us in. And here we are again at last week. Remain in him. Remain in the vine. This intimate friendship with Jesus is the foundation of the thing he's commanded above. When he says, love one another in this crazy, impossible way, he's also given us the means to do it. It's through our relationship with Jesus, because friendship with Jesus transforms how we perceive and relate to others. His love for us, his friendship with us, allows us to love and befriend each other. And I know we talk about love a lot and God's love, but it is the absolute core of the message of the gospel. The message that Jesus says, I have loved you profoundly. Receive it, believe it, revel in it, remain in it. And out of that place, from that place, love one another. And maybe it's not so impossible that way. Because as you are filled up and secure in love, you can love freely. This love is the bedrock of our lives, that firm foundation. When you are loved deeply and securely and profoundly, you can do anything. I see this so much even now in practicum in mental health therapy, like working with clients. I'm like, you know what consistently is a core issue for most people? They don't feel loved. They don't have that secure base of love where they can live out of. And so everything is hard. But what Jesus says is, you have friendship with me. You can do any hard thing. It makes me think back to even when I was first dating Matthew, and we're pretty different. So I was like floundering and like, oh, he's cute, he's nice, whatever. And like date number four, Matthew was like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. Like, I really like you, and here's why. And I'm not trying to date anybody else. And I choose you. I like you. And just so you know, you don't have to feel the same way. Just let me know if you don't feel that way. But I want to just establish this relationship with this like secure foundation that you feel really safe and secure to just be yourself completely. It totally freaked me out. I was like, can we go? I'm like, but you know what? What a gift. What a gift. Our lives are so different. And that's part of why we don't believe it with Jesus. We usually don't experience that with each other. You know, maybe in parenting, maybe in familial relationships, you might feel that. But even in dysfunctional families, we don't feel that. It's so hard for us to understand, what is it like to live out of this secure place of being deeply and profoundly loved, that you can do anything. Jesus is not only the definition of love and the example of love, he's the source of love, and he's the one that makes it possible for us to love each other. And then finally, he closes in this passage with, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. This is yet another reminder of the kind of love he gives. He gives sacrificially. He is a friendship kind of love. And he chooses us. You know, we could sit here and like dissect all of this and make this a big theological statement about predestination or whatever you want. But that's not what it's actually about. In this passage, it's about the kind of love that Jesus has for us. And I love this idea that he chooses us. Because if he chooses us, that means we didn't choose each other. We're just here because we've all been chosen by God. We didn't choose each other. Now, you might want to look around the room and be like, yeah, I didn't choose you. You know, if we're honest, I'm not saying that I've heard mumblings of this, but you know, same was for the disciples. You had Peter the fisherman and Matthew the tax collector who probably cheated Peter's family, and you got Simon the zealot, like this Jewish nationalist, all in the same room. Like, they didn't choose each other, and they wouldn't have chosen each other. But because we are chosen by God, we get to be together, and we get to choose each other. And so I would challenge you this morning, just maybe even at Ashworth, in this beautifully diverse community, even still, your natural inclination is to just keep choosing the people that are like you, or the people that are like pretty easy to love or more convenient for you to love. God is inviting us to something different than that. To agape love, love that invites us, not invites us, I keep saying that, commands us out beyond our comfort zones. And finally, just as we wrap this passage, Jesus' love is mission. Because the whole point of all of this, we experience Jesus' love for us in a profound way. We love each other deeply and profoundly, and we have the ability to do it because we have been loved. And then the world takes notice. This is how people will get to know Jesus. They get to know Jesus by our love for one another. So if we're doing a poor job of it, people don't know Jesus. And unfortunately, I've heard a lot of stories that that's people's experience. 1 John 4:12, John writes more about God's love later on. And he says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. When we love each other deeply and profoundly, God's love is made visible. Now people can see God. Now people have evidence of God because of the way that we love each other. When we love one another, we make him known. I was thinking this morning about a friend of mine who I got to know when I was doing ministry at Drake. And I remember her telling me, yeah, I'm just here for the community. She's like, people here are really good friends, like to each other. And eventually, guess what? She was like, oh, I see the reason why. I want to follow Jesus too. What if that's what the church was known for? Like, oh, I just want to hang around the Christians because they love each other profoundly and I want to go experience that. Doesn't that even sound silly because it seems so far from the truth? But what if that was the witness that we had? That's the mission that we have. Love is not simply another command. It is the hallmark of genuine friendship with Jesus. So the application today, as I close, isn't to go try harder to love each other. Please don't do that, because you'll resent me and you'll resent each other. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, okay, go make a list of ways you could be more sacrificial and love each other a little bit stronger and more. No, what I'm saying this morning, the whole point, the application this morning is lean into intimate friendship with Jesus. Remain in the vine. It's what we heard. It was the application from last week. As you hang out with Jesus, as you know him deeply, as you receive his love, let him love you. As you experience the love of Jesus that is so transformative, the source and the definition of love, as you experience that secure base of love, you give it away to each other. And you have the ability to do the impossible things. His love and our understanding of and our experience with his love gives us all the resources we need. And we get the Holy Spirit, which they didn't have when he was talking to them. We have all the resources we need to do this. Amen?